of the regular meeting of the Cribbit School Board to order on Wednesday, December 18th at 6 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's the opposite of mobility.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we say that first and then we call the order.
Well, then now I understand your confusion.
Yeah, I'm very confused. All right, roll call, Grandaw here. I'm
here.
Heidewald?
Here.
Jerry?
Here.
Gracie?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Roman?
Here.
All right, number four, approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
A second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Five, consider motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting November 20th, 2024. Minutes of the special meeting December 4th, 2024. General fund vouchers, voids 108, 173, and 108215 for $1,682.36. ACHs 242500092 through 242500110 for $19,536.98. Checks 108083 through 108258 for $579,410.77. Wire transfers 202400028 through 202400032 for $211,300.17 for a total of $810,247.92.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Six, public input. Number seven, correspondence recognition.
I have none this time.
All right.
I take that back. I'm sorry. Let me go to my notes. It's a thank you to everyone for the Christmas program. So big thank you goes out to Mr. Allard, Mr. Coffhammer, the Music Boosters, Mrs. Damon, Mr. White, Mrs. Lutzel, Mr. Ballman, as well as the elementary teaching staff that made the elementary Christmas concert, and then the middle and high school band and choir concerts a huge success. There were large crowds and were in attendance for actually all three. There were 4K and 5K had a separate concert, and then first through six, and then middle school band and choir.
Right.
And those are all done.
And no snowstorms.
And no snowstorms or
ice storms.
Yeah.
Got the
bullet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Committee reports, personnel negotiations. We met tonight and discussed some changes to the teaching staff compensation schedule, per-attendance compensation, prep time stipend, credit reimbursement, and post-retirement benefits, and we are bringing the recommended changes to the board for approval. We also talked about a school-to-work custodial position to fill a school-to-work requirement for one of the high school students, and we're going to recommend approving that position. And then lastly, a part-time special ed paraprofessional position that's needed due to an influx of high needs students. So we're recommending to hire that position as well. Building grounds, transportation, and technology.
Building grounds met tonight, and we came up with our recommendation to the board to run with C.D. Smith. There's kind of a toss-up between C.D. Smith and Himmel, but C.D. Smith had a little better numbers on her management fees.
Administrative reports, Mrs. Robinson.
Sorry. It's been a long day today. Same old. Well, I'll tell about my day in a little bit. But school takes a holiday break from December 20th through January 21st with students, teaching staff, and support staff being off those days. Other staff, such as administration, office staff, and custodial staff, are scheduled to work but may use PTO during this time. With candidacy papers being due soon, if the office is closed due to staff being off, information will be posted on the door on how to reach in order to get paperwork.
And I believe it's only Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then New Year's Eve and New Year's Day that they'll be closed. So
Okay.
Just the holidays.
All right. Now, a reminder that the State Education Convention is January 22nd through the 24th. We do have our January meeting before that, but it's in Milwaukee. So if you haven't already, let Jenny know if you plan to attend. If anyone's plans changed and you would like to attend, please let her know. Today, myself, Mrs. Dama, Mrs. Kane, and some elementary teaching staff completed some tours of elementary schools who have recently been renovated and or added onto or built. So that's why it was quite the long day and overwhelming of all the different things that they can include in those construction projects and updates that they can do. So we started out the day in Coleman, went through their building. Then we went down to Oshkosh to Menominee Elementary, which is a new build, and then ended in North Fond du Lac at Friendship Learning Center. Yeah, so
oh my gosh.
that was our day from 7:45 till about 3:45 or so we got back. So yeah, it was interesting. We like overwhelming. I mean, I can't even process all the things that we saw. Really, really cool ideas of what the spaces that we're renovating at the elementary school can be. So later, after the new year, we will be doing tours of tech ed facilities that have been recently updated. So started with the elementary school, and then again, after break, we'll be doing some of the tech ed updates. Really, really cool experience. Another really cool experience I had was last week I took a call from State Superintendent Jill Underley. Dr. Underley called to let me know that DPI was nominating Krivitz High School for a National Blue Ribbon Award in the area of closing achievement gaps. Right now, this is just a nomination, not an actual award. DPI is able to nominate 8 schools in the state, not districts, actual schools, 8 schools each year, and this year Krivitz High School is one of them. Closing the achievement gap is based on a school's growth, and to be nominated, you must be in the top 15% in the state. As you will see during our state report card presentation, we did quite well in that area, which is why we're being nominated for this. And then lastly, I'd like to wish the board a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right. Mr. Bowman.
My first one was about the middle high school township as well.
Sorry to steal your thunder, Mr. Bowman.
You stole my thunder, so.
Mine too.
So I will not repeat that, but it was congratulations to everyone involved. My second one, congratulations goes out to Nino Robinson, Elizabeth Banashek, Michaela Frost, and Jessica Dramuski for winning the High School Students of the Month Award for the month of November. Also, congratulations goes out to Gemma Boone and Ella Wallace for being recipients at the middle school level. Lastly, congratulations goes out to Ashlyn Fransmeyer, Alex Smeaton, and Carter Fransmeyer for being chosen as November's Lunch Bunch students. This award recognizes personality, helpfulness, and academics. They received a free cousin's lunch and were recognized by their teachers in front of Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Heidewald, and Mrs. Lastly, this Friday, the middle high school will host its annual Christmas activities for the student body in grades 7 through 12. The Christmas trivia contest will start at 1:30 and run until about 2:30. The student council will award prizes at both the high school and middle school levels for the winning classes. After the trivia competition, the students will be able to choose an activity that they want to participate in from 2:30 until 3:25. I'm sure it will be a lot of fun, and the students will be ready to leave. And lastly, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well.
Thank you. Mrs. Dama.
Hey, I'm going to skip my first bullet point as well.
Just say ditto.
Congratulations to Special Ed Para Victoria Chapman, who was awarded our Elementary School Staff Member of the Month for November. Mrs. Chapman was nominated by her colleagues for the support she provides to students and staff and for stepping up to help wherever she is needed. She goes above and beyond. This week, our students are having fun with our Christmas dress-up days. Monday was Christmas Movie Character Day. Tuesday, Christmas Pajama Day. Today, I missed Ugly Sweater Day. Thursday, Anything Christmas Day. And Friday is Christmas Vacation Day. Last week, our fifth graders participated in a reindeer application contest. Students had to complete an application as if they were a reindeer wanting to be hired by Santa. I had the privilege of selecting three winners from each class. The winners were Liza Reedman, Lauren Jakes, Lydia Lucas, Levi Richland, Macy Kroll, and Carrie Nolan. I was very impressed with all of the applications. They were very well written. And I too would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Mr. White.
Well, I don't want to say that our staff helped set up the Christmas program.
Don't.
I do want to thank North Country Christmas Trees for donating the Christmas tree again for our front lobby. Thanks also to Mrs. Graves and the student volunteers that she rounded up to decorate the tree. December 9th, inspections were performed on our gymnasium bleachers at both buildings. A contractor performing these inspections also completed some necessary repairs, ensuring that our bleachers remain safe for at least another year. During the Thanksgiving break, I led tours of both the middle high school and elementary buildings for the construction management firms that were shortlisted. Additionally, I took part in their interviews, which were held on December 2nd, and which we will be deciding on one of those tonight. And lastly, to maintain compliance with Wisconsin School Safety Act 143, school violence response drills were held at each building on Thursday, December 5th. Act 143 requires that these drills be evaluated and that the evaluation be certified by the school district's governing body. For the most part, the staff and students did a great job of following procedures. We will be discussing any observed deficiencies with the staff and taking any appropriate corrective actions. That's all. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Maybe the director's not here.
Okay. Mr. Schramm.
Good evening. We've made some considerable progress in preparing the old elementary wood shop to become the new technology workspace. After sitting vacant and unused for several years now, as expected as any room would be, especially an old wood shop, it definitely needed some attention and some elbow grease. We've moved some equipment in already and plan to remove the remaining equipment and furniture from the third floor this coming Monday. I want to thank the maintenance department for assistance in preparing the area. I've begun filing for E-rate discounts and reimbursements as some of our network hardware license renewals are up for renewal in June. This process takes months to complete, so I must start early. E-rate is a federal communications commission program that makes telecommunications and information services more affordable for schools and libraries by providing post-purchase discounts and reimbursements based on a district's free and reduced costs. The technology department is looking forward to Christmas break next week so we can tackle projects such as replacing some of our battery backup hardware in our wiring closets and performing some software and hardware system updates while staff and students are on vacation in all the buildings. And finally, I too would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right, thank you. We're going to skip number six. Number nine, information discussion, a construction management company review.
All right, Monday, December 2nd, Building and Grounds Committee, Tom White, Clint from Bray, and I interviewed three construction management companies. We asked follow-up questions, and I checked references for those three companies. I have the information if anyone would like me to read off any of the references again. From the references that each gave me, I did not have any come back as bad references. I mean, they all said that they worked well. So the board we're hoping that the board can come to a conclusion tonight or a decision tonight on a construction management company. That's our next step, and in that, we're working with Bray and the architects on the designs of what actually the renovation is going to entail, but the construction manager is an integral part in that process, so getting them on board is important as soon as possible.
So the recommendation is C.D. Smith?
Yes.
That was a recommendation from the Buildings and Grounds Committee. Fees are lower for C.D. Smith.
Yes.
So, and that's what we're comfortable with.
Okay. Too.
I mean, that's not the only. We're also comfortable with them. I mean, we're not just taking the lowest bid just because. But
it was a toss up between IMO and C.D. Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was neck and neck. It's just the number for management was a little bit cheaper, and C.D. Smith seemed to have a lot more experience with the school end of it.
Yes.
And IMO didn't come right out and say, I was impressed with C.D. Smith's more of the safety with the kids being around and their background checks on their employees and vendors that were coming in. I did get an email back from Immel, which they kind of did something similar, but the rest of the guys at night stressed that heavily.
Mm-hmm. Where are they from?
They are based out of Fond du Lac. Oh. C.D. Smith is based out of Fond du Lac.
So anybody have any questions?
They've done local jobs like Marinette. They did all Marinette's renovation.
Did they do anything?
They're currently working on Pulaski.
With anybody around here?
Marinette.
Marinette is the closest.
And Pulaski.
Marinette, Pulaski.
Oh, all right, thank you.
All right, B, 2025-2026 school calendar.
All right, sorry, seventh graders. I don't want to break this, or and high schoolers, I guess.
Cover your ears.
Mrs. Robinson is going to have some slashed tires, I think. Usually in January, we come to the board with a proposed calendar for the following school year. This year, it is in December. I was actually going to have it on December to discuss some other items, but last week on Tuesday, when we met with Clint from Bray, we were talking about the construction project and the timelines, and so it was brought up that we should look at getting a waiver through DPI to start before September 1st in order to extend the summer of 2026. So next year, school year 2025 to 2026, a large majority of the construction project at the elementary school will be done that summer. So any extra time we can give the construction crews, they appreciate, obviously, in order to get done on time when school starts in the fall of 26. So I had to completely blow up the calendar that we had already made and spent time on and throw together one that, and what we looked at is extending it by 2 weeks. So it's starting in the middle of August, but then it is, last day of school is May 20th. So that sounds really good, right, guys? We like that. So while shortening the 2025 summer, we are extending the 2026 summer. So it's a horse apiece. In order to do that, as I mentioned, and that's the next one, is you have to file a waiver with the state. I've gotten conflicting information, but more than likely that there's a deadline of January 1st. It says on there they take them on a rolling basis, but there is a deadline of January 1st also. So we have to do this at the December meeting to apply for that waiver if we are going to start and before September 1st and extend that construction season. Yeah, so you can imagine how that went over when we try to get some staff feedback, a little bit like it does with student feedback, like a lead balloon, there's a lot of different benefits to this. One is obviously extending the summer, as I mentioned. That also means more of that construction can happen without students in the building. That's a benefit too. They can have things much more open when there's not students there. Also on the student safety side, less to have to worry about when construction's happening when students aren't in the building. So we took the calendar and did our best to make it work. It's very similar to what it would have looked like just 2 weeks earlier on everything. There's some interesting things. So first semester now ends at the Christmas break. So semester exams will be right before Christmas break. They won't come back and then take exams like they currently do. Third quarter will end right before spring break. So again, instead of coming back for a week or two and then having the end of the quarter, grades have to be, it's done before that break. Number of student days, number of teacher days is all the same on here. Again, we have some staff that don't love this calendar. There are parts of this I don't love on the calendar. One question that was brought up that I said I would mention is that through the state of Wisconsin, it is calculated school time, instruction time is calculated on a minute basis, actually, not days. However, in teacher contracts, we have that it is 174 student days and 183 teacher days. One of the suggestions was to extend the school day longer to be able to have less days in the calendar so that we don't have to start early and we can still get out early. Again, to do that, we are looking at 15 to 20 minutes every day. I struggle with that when we're talking about 4Kers and 5Kers. Like, that's a long day. Even high schoolers, I mean, we have a long school day to begin with. It's not my suggestion. It's definitely an option. It's the board's decision, ultimately. With that, we would also have to take the language out of the 174 student days and 183 teacher days from the teacher contracts, because that is in their contracts. And if we extended the day and made less days, we would have to change those contracts, which isn't a huge deal. That's the board's discretion anyway. So this discussion piece is on the school calendar. The next discussion item is actually the resolution, though they are in tandem. The reason that this calendar is so different than any other calendar is because of the waiver that I would like to apply for from DPI.
So if you added the time each day, they'd get out at the same place next?
Yep. Okay. If we added, again, it's somewhere 15 to 20 minutes to every school day, we could start, what the start day would be September 2nd, the Tuesday after Labor Day, mm-hmm. and it would make up for those 2 weeks.
Okay.
That was a quick, rough calculation that Mr. Bauman did while we were on the phone.
It would still be the
May 20th.
You know, we got all this new high-speed internet underground. You could take and learn from home for a month. We just got off of COVID.
Yeah, that worked really well. That's a good.
No, yeah. Zip it. But.
I'm sensing some sarcasm there, Mr. Grazy.
Not at all.
We could give up the Monday and Tuesday of Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
Come to school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that, again, when you put out something like this to a large group of people for feedback, you get feedback in all different directions,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I give up spring break. We could not have a spring break.
Oh, gosh.
And we could start, right? Okay, so, like, when do you want to go to school? Do you want to go to school for that week in March? Do you want to go for the school an extra week in August? Like, that, you know, I mean, everything's a give and take. Everyone has a different opinion. You're never going to please everyone. Such is life. That's my job, not pleasing everyone.
So
I'm really good at it.
What's your best opinion?
Like,
so yeah.
I like the calendar we have to us. I think that's the cleanest.
That's fine with me, because like I said, it don't matter to me if we get rid of spring break or deer hunting or any of that. That stuff don't bother me. But whatever works best for you, I mean, obviously you got to please some people.
Starting early is probably the best bet.
Yeah, my preference would be the 2 weeks in August myself, because, you know, these kids get home late. And it's dark
It's dark.
And
for
the most part,
and they're hungry.
Years,
they're like hangry. You'd have to feed them again.
Pickup is
already
at 5:56 a.m. for the first pickup. So
Send that
20 minutes.
And what's the difference? We're already playing volleyball and football anyhow.
No. For this,
after,
for the,
you're talking about later.
Yeah,
yep.
For the children to get on the bus.
With the size of our district, the square, you know, the area mm-hmm. of it, the square miles. We have pickups right before 6 o'clock. We have drop-offs. We're looking at 4:30.
And wouldn't it be favorable for the kids to have exams before they go on a break?
Do that.
Isn't that easier for them to know what they're doing? I don't know.
Yeah, we took the calendar. We bumped it up 2 weeks, and then we said, okay, now we need to make it make sense. And so that's where, the quarters are a little off on days. Fourth quarter's the longest one. But honestly, I think
that's why we need a spring break.
Yeah.
I think it makes the most sense. Obviously, even though it was rushed, put a lot of time into it. This is my suggestion, but I make it, so of course I'm going to suggest it. there's other trains of thought on by a lot of people, so I'm sure it's not perfect.
It's only 1 year.
It's only one year. One question that I feel like I should bring up, and I didn't even ask Mr. Bauman about it, but I'm going to kind of put him on the spot. So we have notoriously early out for seniors in graduation. I did not move up graduation by 2 weeks.
I saw that.
They are still out earlier than other students. So I don't know if you moved that up 2 weeks, their graduation would be May 2nd. I didn't feel like it needed to be moved up. I think May 16th is an early enough graduation, but I'm not a senior, nor am I a senior parent. So I understand that I have, you know.
It'd be a lot cooler in a gym.
You could always start seniors 2 weeks earlier.
Even earlier than that, yeah. Okay, let's have a couple that will
serve them on August 1st.
That would make them real happy.
When I look at it, that's one of the first things I looked at.
Yep.
They're not going to get out quite as, I mean, they're still getting out as early as every other senior group has, but it's just the rest of the kids will be closer this time. But, I mean, it doesn't affect how, you know, it doesn't affect their graduation date as compared to anyone else. So, it's just that.
And it doesn't affect, like, baseball or any of those softball. Do you still play, right?
I would, yeah, I would agree with that.
So what it does affect is volleyball.
The only other thing that's...
In August. But, I mean, what it is is we host an invitational the first day that volleyball can have a competition. It is during the day in August. We will not be able to host that because we will be in school. So it does affect that. You know, practices for football and volleyball, I mean, obviously will have to accommodate us being in school. I don't feel like that's a huge issue. The biggest one that I think it would football, actually, they have a scrimmage usually during the day one time. But,
right, but
we'll have to accommodate.
It's a benefit for football, though, because, I mean, right now football is starting basically August 1st.
Yeah, they do.
And
they have a month with where they're not in school, yeah, but they have practice.
There are some kids that don't want to give away a month of their summer, and now it'll only be a week, really, that they'll be here before school starts. And Matt's pretty happy about it, to be honest. So kids will be in school already, so they'll be okay with starting football.
I'm also not building a calendar based on sports. That's just my two cents.
that's
just me. I mean, I love sports as much as the next person, absolutely, but I'm not building a district calendar based on that.
The only thing this is really going to hurt is the 4-H and the fair. Because the 4-H walk all their animals before every day before the fair and the whole month in the morning. So that whole week of the fair, you're probably going to have kids either coming in late or they're going to be missing school the week of the fair.
I'll
put you on the spot now, since
okay,
I've been thinking of this and I haven't mentioned it yet, but I mean, especially, you know, if we get proof that a kid is actually showing an animal in the fair, you can make it an exempt.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I don't have
an issue. Time thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a one-time
I don't have an
thing.
Issue with that.
So. Yeah.
I didn't mention that to you yet, but I don't think
I talked to Peshtigo superintendent because they filed for the waiver quite a few times, I think 3 years in a row. The first 2 years were during COVID, and then the last year of it was for a construction project. And I asked him about that, and he said they did, they took like the Thursday and Friday of the fair, and they started like the week earlier and went 2 days, and then like, all, and I'm like, to go even earlier, I don't,
yeah.
I'd rather exempt the kids who are showing animals like, and not count against them, like rather than push it. I cannot ask for more than 2 weeks in August to push it even earlier. We have students, but it is, two handfuls.
Yeah,
if
it's
you know,
what about
it's not
staff
for on the fair side of it? I mean, they have PTO. They can.
Okay,
they have 5 days of PTO.
I know that. I just remember we had a staff member.
We have a couple, and we do. We have a couple that you know their kids show or they're
Myers.
You know involved. And,
Myers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Celine's too.
Yep.
So yeah,
just
I mean we
asking.
Do. And I.
So are you guys all comfortable with this calendar as presented?
We also have I just to mention because I'm gonna have to look at some things. We have two staff members. One, it is the actual staff member whose wedding is scheduled during these 2 weeks in August, where we have a wedding and a honeymoon. And then another one, it's the staff member's child is getting married during that. And so I'm just looking at some ways to where I'm going to look at their PTO from like this year and let them carry it over where we have that they can't carry it over. That way they're not the second week of school, they've used all 5 days
Exactly.
Right. And that's why I'm like, you're planning a wedding 2 years in advance. I'm giving you 9 months notice, which I feel like is a lot,
but
when you're planning a wedding 2 years, like I get it. So I just get a little creative.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, in the hole on PTO and stuff, but it's on a individual basis on extenuating circumstances.
Yep.
So, okay.
Good.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Next, the resolution.
So, when it comes to the action item, it is an actual resolution.
And I have to actually read the entire thing.
No, you just have to read that heading. Resolutions, you just have to read that heading, so that the board signs off that we are going to file that waiver with DPI, asking for the exemption, so that we can start prior to September 1st. We have to prove that we did it at a board meeting. During open meetings, it was discussed with the calendar, that whole, we have to show that, you know, I just didn't feel like that's what we should do, and I just decided to go for it. Like, it's a board decision.
Now, with that, do they deny it very often?
No.
Okay.
Well, not for a construction project.
Okay.
If it's because, you know, I want to make my calendar a little bit different, yeah, they'll deny
okay.
it. But for a construction project, no, they do not deny it.
All right, the presentation of district state education report cards.
Okay. In your board packets were copies of the report cards. And so we just prepared a short presentation to show you kind of what those report cards look like. So if you want to turn, I'm not sure which way I'm going here. Not that way. So our district report card, the top part of the first page gives kind of an overview of the district. So this is the 2023-2024 district report card, though some of the data didn't come from last year, it's even further back. This data came from last year, so obviously the district serves grades 4K through 12. Our enrollment was 798, and our percent of open enrollment in is 8.4%. Student groups by nationality or race, at the bottom there you can see we're 90% white. Our next largest student group there is two or more races. On the right there, those pie charts, students with disabilities is 14.7%. That's a little high, but other area districts are much higher than that. And then economically disadvantaged, 45.1%. Again, that's the entire district. English language learners is 0.4%. That is a snapshot of the bottom part of the first page. So an overall score is given. Ours is 75.1, and it's 4 stars. So 4 out of 5 exceeds expectations. Obviously, that's really good. We've talked about in years past, if you remember from these presentations, on the pie chart, up here, the top half changes. It changes year to year, changes district to district. The achievement and the growth, that's what percent of that those numbers, how it's weighted in our overall score. So it's based on our free and reduced lunch number. So on the last screen I had showed you, it was 45.1% of our students are qualified for free and reduced lunch. That increases our percent weight of growth. Districts that have higher percentages of free and reduced lunch get graded more heavily on growth versus achievement. On the priority score area, you can see achievement, 62.6%, and then it's broken down by English language arts and mathematics. The dark blue is our score, how we did, and then that lighter underneath is the state average. So for English language arts, we had 59.7 points earned, and the state average, my eyes are a little bit old, I think it's 58.3. Mm-hmm. Does that look right? Yeah?
Yes.
Is that the district one? Oh, that's elementary. That's why. Okay, that's a little different. 58.3. And then in math, our score is 65.4, and the state average is 57.6. Okay, so above the state average in both, further from the state average in math. And then the second one over to the right there on growth, where I said this weighs in, it has a higher priority weight. And it is how students grow compared to how they should grow. So in language arts, what gains they should make in 1 year, how much they've made more than that 1 year of growth. So English language arts, again, our score for that is 75.5 points, and the state average is 66.0. And in math, as a district, is 81.2, and the state average is 66.0. So we are, again, graded more heavily in growth, and we do better in growth, which is what helps our score. I have a post-it note on all the area scores. I looked through Marinette County, Oconee County, the M&O Conference. We have the highest scores in the area in all of them. On the district, Coleman's is the next highest, and their score this year is 72.4. There is not another school above 70.5 in that area, in Marinette and O'Connell counties. So again, doing very well. Target group outcomes is a little bit hard to explain. They, DPI picks a group, an underserved group. Could be, for us, it could be students with disabilities or students who qualify for free or reduced lunch. And they take their scores and they count them twice. They say, how are those students doing? And then they look at achievement, they look at growth, they look at their absenteeism, and they look at their graduation rates. And so that's where those scores come in. Because it can be, it can be in any underserved group. It could be based on race. It could be race, based on English language proficiency. But it has to have at least 20 students in that category. The only two categories that we have 20 students or more for the district is free and reduced lunch and students with disabilities. So they pick one of those groups, and then they see how you're doing. And that's their target group. On track for graduation scores, again, that has to do with chronic absenteeism. We are rated on our students' attendance. Students, when we're on you about attendance, this is one of the reasons, besides state law, but we are graded on students' attendance. So students who attend more regularly, we get more points for. Graduation, our graduation rate, not looking at you, Mr. Bellman, not looking at you. Third grade language arts proficiency is an area we could grow in, and then eighth grade mathematics is an area of strength for us. So this year's the bottom two charts are this year's scores, and the reason that there's only one bar on there is because the state standards changed, so the tests changed. So the thresholds change, so they can't compare it to years past. But I took our chart from last year that had three on there, and I just threw it up there. So it's not comparing apples to apples by any means, but you can see we're moving in the right direction. The very bottom, that teal, light blue color, is the percent of students, and then in parentheses, number of students, who are advanced. And English language arts is on the left, math is on the right. The purple is proficient, or I guess this year it's advanced, and then it's meeting. That's where we want. We want those students, we want all students to be in the teal or the purple. You add those two percentages together, you get that percent that are hitting where the targets where we're looking at. You can just look at that chart, and you can see that this year's numbers, this year's percentages in purple are bigger than they were in years past. You can see the percentages in the teal. It's a larger percentage than in years past. Again, they don't have them side by side on there anymore because the thresholds did change, but it's still relevant to see what direction we're moving in. We want those orange and yellow percentages to go down. It's going in the right direction. Elementary.
Okay, a couple highlights for us. We were very pleased with our results. If you look at our growth, our growth number last year was 66. So we went, wow. Our overall growth, we went from 66 to 74.6. In language arts, our growth was 71 to 81, which is...
That's huge.
It's huge.
That's huge. That's a lot.
And yep. Our math growth was 60.3 to 67.9. So a really nice growth in all of those areas. The growth, you know, that's closing those gaps, so that's... the more growth we have, the better, obviously, the better the achievement's going to be. So some wonderful things that we're doing, we're really focusing on that reading intervention, math intervention. Teachers are doing that in the classrooms, and so we have intervention time in our schedule for both reading and math, and they're able to do small group one-on-one interventions, and that's you know, before kids would even have to go to one of the interventionists, they're still getting that support in the classrooms, which has been very, very good. That, and we're implementing the new science of reading, so we're kind of we're doing a lot of training around that, and so we feel like that's gonna make things even better.
From last year's overall score of 70.5 up to 75.1, so.
Yeah. And then just some key areas of focus. I just mentioned the science of reading. We're really going to go kind of go back to working on the phonics. Working with our teachers, our interventionists are not only supporting students, they're also going into the classrooms and they're working with the teachers. They're doing some small groups in there. So they're kind of coaching the teachers through that intervention piece. Our teacher mentor program is wonderful. It's been a very big positive thing for our school. And we're doing the grade level meetings. We have individual plans for every kid that scores the 25th percentile or below in reading or math. We create a plan and then we review those plans as a team. And that helps us, you know, change plans, create new plans. And with those, we don't focus just on academics. We focus on behavior and attendance concerns too. No.
Cam and Kelly did so well here. Our middle school scores were also good. They went up. We went up in 3 out of 4 categories. If you look at the achievement, English language arts, we're just under the state average, and in math, we are over the state average by a couple of points there. The growth score, not quite as good as what we were at with the high school. Again, we're lagging a little bit behind English language arts-wise, 60% compared to the state average of 66. But again, you notice the math, we're above. And that's kind of been a trend over the last 5-6 years, to be honest, is our English has lagged a little bit behind the state average. But you'll see that's changing at the high school level now. But you know, we still have a little bit of work to do in middle school. The chronic absenteeism, we're at 87. That's still not quite where I'd like to see it, but it's getting better. And then the school-wide attendance is at 94.7. That's actually pretty good. I think the highest we ever had was 98% one year, which is phenomenal. But 94.7 is good. So the attendance has steadily improved since the COVID years. I don't want to remember those. But the eighth grade math scores, again, we've always been very strong in our math. So if we go, the overall score is 68.3. Again, better, 1 point better than last year, I think it was. We're still looking to improve yet, but we're better in 3 out of 4 categories. Math was particularly good. Moving to the high school, I did have the one slide for the ELA. We're gonna continue to look at how our middle school curriculum can best serve our students. We will be looking at modifications again to keep improving in that area. The great thing about our middle school team, if you come, they have meetings every Tuesday and they talk about kids individually, which kids are, that they have to put a little more emphasis on as far as they're having a rough week or not achieving where the teachers think they should be achieving. It's really a great group as far as they individualize and they work well together. The middle school group is a really good group of teachers. High school wise, we're at 80.2, exceeding expectations. And this is the part that it's nice for me to see. I'm an English guy, always have been. If you look at the high school scores, this is the first time in a number of years that we've been higher than the state average in English, and actually significantly higher. We're at 64.7. I think some of that we've instituted some AP lit stuff and some AP language classes. I think those do help. We didn't have AP English until 2 years ago, so I think those are helping. Our math scores are always phenomenal. And Mr. Ott's here, it's good to see Mr. Ott, Mr. Myers, Mrs. Myers. I tell everyone we have the two best English teachers, the two best math teachers in the entire state. If you look at our state score, 73.4 as compared to 52.7, it's absolutely phenomenal. If you look at the growth, I've never seen this before at our math 100% means that every single kid in the high school scored better than they were expected to score on the state test, which I've never seen that in my life before. If you look at the state average, it's 66, we got 100. And that's one reason it's one of the main reasons we got nominated for the Blue Ribbon Award. English, again, 9 points higher for the gross scores as well. graduation rate at 92, it's better than it's been. And we did have some data errors before as well that have been fixed, which did play a part. That's a lot better than where it was with 85, which is awful. 92, it looks a lot better, but I'd still, for the graduation rates, they're cohorts that extend over a extended period of time. So we're still feeling the effects of a class or two, minimally now. So hopefully that'll get up to 96 or so where it should be. But the score was very good. All our scores, we went up in every single group this year. And, we're complimenting the teachers, but we should probably compliment students too.
Absolutely.
Because I think our students really take the state testing seriously.
Yeah.
Some incentives help for exams, but I tell everyone we're very lucky. We have a great group of kids, so those are good scores.
If you talk, I've talked a couple times with Mr. Ott about that, and he definitely emphasizes that. Our students buy into our program. Our math teachers talk about that growth. Yes, there are incentives for the students, but understanding that their learning is important and doing their work, and there's a reason that they do things the way that they do them, because it shows up here. And I know students don't see this state report card and probably even their state testing scores as a huge motivator for them, but it does make a difference, and the work that they do every single day is what reflects on this state report card and obviously in their own state test scores, even though doing those study islands aren't their favorite thing in the world. Just wait, middle schoolers, you'll get there. And doing some of the other work that they have, aren't their favorite in the world. We see the benefits of them. And yes, it helps with achievement, but talking to my own child about just how to learn, and so that even if you're going into a trade and it's not something you're going to college for, just the ability to take in information, process it, and then apply it is what we're teaching here. And it shows through math, it shows through language arts, it shows through all the subjects.
Our achievement, growth, and target group outcomes scores were excellent. They were better than 81, 93, and 89% of state high schools. We do have to continue to work on our on-track graduation score. But these numbers did improve from last year to this year, and it should continue to rise as far as graduation goes.
I was just checking to make sure we were done.
I honestly forgot I had to present this. I looked at it a couple days ago. I was playing my guitar before the meeting, and I forgot I had to present this. I know, but I did.
But you did it ahead of time.
I was prepared ahead of time, actually. It doesn't always happen. I put to improve the graduation rate and the target group outcomes, continue to use RTI. We have flex period, we have ACP, we have academic enrichment for 9 through 12. We have student engagement and student achievement committees. And again, our scores are going, I think, in a very positive direction. So I think these things have been working. And then, like I mentioned, we found some data errors. Will not be Kelly and Nick and you two were the key ones that found some errors on what we've been reporting, and I think that's helped a little bit as well. So we're going to continue to monitor the data a little more closely as well.
All right. Questions, comments, concerns?
Congratulations. That's awesome. It's amazing, actually.
It's pretty cool.
It is. And in my opinion, we're recovering from COVID a lot faster than a lot of other people are. So kudos to all of you. All right. Emergency operations school safety plan.
We've updated our school safety plans. Mostly it's just personnel updates. They were last approved in 2018. I will say, though, that I caution the board not to talk about or get into particulars about the plans. I know in this day and age, it is it's a sensitive subject. It's a, not sensitive, it's a important topic that people want to know specifics on, that we have plans for emergency situations in light of what just happened on Monday in Madison. Like, we have those plans in place. However, we do not, we keep them very close to the chest, just because if there were an event, there have been events in the past that have been coordinated. I don't want out in the public all of those plans. For instance, we have, let's just say we have someone trying to harm students. I don't like going into particulars, so I don't like saying those words, the schools and shootings, but someone's trying to harm students at school. We have plans in place of where those students get evacuated to, where the reunification happens with parents. We have all of that, but I don't like to make that public because, again, if it's coordinated and someone's here and we evacuate and people know where we're evacuating to, they can coordinate and have someone there trying to harm people also. So I try to keep that very, very close, you know, close-knit. When we talk to staff about it, we don't discuss it with students. The students are given the direction that in an emergency situation, you follow us. You listen to us, you follow us, we will get you to a safe place. We have MOUs in place with area businesses or facilities near each of the schools to evacuate to. I mean, I've gone through, I've discussed in the past that I meet monthly with Marinette County area superintendents, that we discuss all of that, like literally where media will be staged, where we're going to tell parents to come to pick up, where students will be housed, how that's going to happen, who's going to be talking to parents of the suspected perpetrator, the students who have been injured, where this all goes. Like, we have these very, very extensive plans, but don't want to discuss that. So as a board, if you need individual reassurance and a little bit more information, I'd be happy to meet with you. Same thing with parents. I won't give specifics, but I will give enough to show that I have those things. I just don't want it out because I don't want it used against us in a situation, in a very unfortunate, that I hope never happens, situation. So I am asking, the board does have to approve those EOPs. You approved it back in 2018. We've made updates, so bringing it back for your approval. If you want specifics, please arrange to meet with me.
Good. All right. Lockdown drill reports.
In line with our EOP, Emergency Operations Plan, we do one emergency drill every year. December 5th, we held a lockdown drill. And Mr. White prepared a report, which is in your board packets. Mr. White, I don't know if you want to go into it. 90% of students and staff do exactly what they're told and what they're supposed to do. And then there's some outliers who just don't, you know. And some of it is keeping kindergartners in a corner, quiet, is very difficult, right? Like, out of sight, not speaking. We do this. We initiate a lockdown drill. The administrators walk the building, try all the doors, listen, look in. I mean, we're really, because it's a training, you know, I mean, we want to be able to tell teachers, this was good, you did that, or this, I could see this student. You know, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to keep those kindergartners. And quite honestly, in our EOP, lockdown is one piece of an emergency situation. It is not, it's not like it used to be where emergency situation happens and it all goes into lockdown. It's much more common sense. Like, if an emergency situation is happening on one side of the building, the rest of the building needs to get the heck out of there, not just be sitting there waiting for someone to harm them. So the lockdown, well, there will be, if there's ever that situation, there will be some places that need to lock down because the person doing the harm is near them and they need to, you know, hide. We follow much more of the run, hide, fight. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if you want to go into any specifics, but it just...
I won't name any names today.
Yeah, but again, as administrators, we do know who didn't follow what they were supposed to do. So.
All right. GSTAF compensation.
As presented and discussed in the Personnel Committee meeting, we have a handful of proposed updates or increases to staff compensation. So the board may discuss. I know the Personnel Committee is making the recommendation. There's some specifics on timelines of it. But otherwise, they are recommending that.
Do you want me to go through each one individually?
And they were in your board packet.
They're in your board packet.
In the doc about what the proposed changes were.
I'm fine with them. I heard earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay, okay. Great. Great, age school to our custodial position.
Again, we have a high school student. This was discussed as part of the personnel also. We have a high school student who is in need of a job placement to complete a semester of his school-to-work credits. Last year, the board approved having 3 youth apprenticeship and education positions. This is separate from that. The job is custodial and goes between the two buildings. Pay is the same as a summer custodial help. Again, trying to help out a student to meet his graduation requirements with credit-wise through a school-to-work option versus taking traditional classes. Mr. Bellman, can you clarify, are we looking at just the semester or the whole year?
I only talked to him today. I was going to talk to Tom and see if it's working out.
So for the, at least the potential to be the whole year, if it's benefiting both sides.
Yeah, it's for sure through January 17th, but if it's working for both sides, I mean, it could be a possibility for all years. The board is okay with that. So.
Yeah, I mean, he needs the credits. If he needs the work to get the credits to graduate, absolutely. Then we can get your 92% and 92%.
Yeah.
We like to tease Mr. Bellman because part of our graduation rate being lower than some of the other areas.
It's due to the class of 2021.
Well, it is, but it is also Mr. Bellman's standards for graduation. He is, and I support him on this, unrelenting in holding high standards for our students. And
absolutely.
I know we never want a student not to graduate, obviously, but holding high standards for our students so that a diploma from Crivitz High School means they work their butts off. They tried hard. And again, not that, you know, we're trying to weed out anyone or we want anyone not. We give everyone the opportunity, support them thoroughly, but unwilling to grant diplomas to students who didn't earn it, who didn't meet the criteria set forth by the board in the handbook. So we kind of like to tease Mr. Bellman a little bit about that, like that he's the stickler on they have to meet all these. But it's a good thing, and I totally support him. But we like to tease him a little bit about that.
That in the class of 2021.
Well, 2021 needs to roll off. We got a few years left on that because there's a 4-year cohort and a 6-year cohort. So
yeah.
We got a few years before they're falling off.
We both feel that pain. All right, part-time special ed paraprofessional position.
This was discussed in the personnel committee meeting. The special education department has been struggling to meet all of the elementary students' needs, particularly with behavior. We're asking the board to add a part-time special education paraprofessional position. We have a qualified person willing to fill the position. It's an applicant from our last special education paraprofessional vacant position. So when we had those apply, we had three good candidates. We hired 2 of them. We have a third that's been filling in as a sub, again, willing to do it, but we just need to add the position.
Questions? Jay, high school cheer trips.
High school cheer team is asking for approval for 2 overnight trips for a state qualifying competition as well as a state competition. Information is included in your packet. We have Kelly Sembris and 2 high school cheerleaders, I think just 2, right, in attendance. So if you want to give some more information or what, it's up to you.
We are requesting approval to stay overnight the night before the state qualifying competition, and then possibly for the state competition, we need to qualify in order to go on to state.
And those are no school time missed, it's just the overnight, correct?
No, would be leaving early in the afternoon on both of those days. So on the 14th at 2 p.m., on the 21st at 1 p.m.
Okay.
The 21st, we're going to Hartford, or I'm sorry, the 14th, we're going to Hartford, and on the 21st, we're going to DeForest. I did kind of give a timeline on each that was included.
Yep.
bad weather is always something to keep in mind, and a little slow going with a bus.
Those are both February, is that right?
Yes.
February 14th and February 21st?
21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the 21st only happens if you qualify on the
14th? Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Good. All right. Item scheduled for action, school-to-work custodial position.
Board is asked to add a part-time school-to-work custodial position.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Sunny.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. B, part-time special ed paraprofessional position.
Board is asked to add a part-time special education paraprofessional position.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. C, resignations. One, elementary teachers.
Julie Bushmaker and Missy Grzynski have submitted their retirement / resignation letters.
Can we vote more on this one?
I would love to tell you yes. And, you know, by all means, you can personally protest. I struggle, you know. I have two long-term fantastic teachers that have given their heart and soul to our school, but they've earned their time. Makes me sad. They will be impossible to replace, as we have some more that will be coming in the next 5 years that will be impossible to replace, but it's starting.
Second.
Motion by Sunny, seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Two, part-time custodial employee.
I'm ahead of myself. Yeah, that's the next one. Part-time custodial employee resignation. Marcel Burry Marcel Burry has submitted his resignation as of January 2nd, 2025.
Make motion.
Motion by Kayla.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Appointments.
Here we go.
One, school-to-work custodial employee.
So that one that was mentioned earlier, Elliot Van Rossum, is recommended for approval as a school-to-work custodial employee.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Part-time special education paraprofessional.
Mary Madsen is recommended for approval as a part-time special education paraprofessional.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla. Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number three, student teacher.
Sam Ferguson, Kravitz grad, is recommended for approval as an elementary student teacher. He will be student teaching second semester.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris. Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried.
We don't part-time. Have. So the part-time custodial employee, because we received the letter of resignation last week, we got it posted right away.
Okay.
We put it on the agenda, just in the off chance we had an applicant, we could get them, you know, going in the process, but we don't yet, so.
All right. Number five, volunteers and chaperones.
There is only one on the list. Oh. Ruth Navis is recommended for approval as a volunteer chaperone.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions? Motion carried. E, construction management company.
The board is asked to choose a construction management company to hire for the referendum project.
I'll make the motion.
For
which one?
C.D. Smith.
Motion by Sunny.
I'll second.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. F, resolution authorizing American Deposit Management and authorized agent for district funds.
We have that in here.
You have to read that whole resolution?
Just the heading. I just gotta find it. Here we go.
Alright, School District of Kravitz School Board resolution authorizing the American Deposit Management Company as an authorized agent for district funds. Motion by Kayla.
Is this?
Get a second.
Second.
Seconded by Chris.
Is this a company related to the referendum?
Yeah, so it's an investment company. So this is where that first $10 million of it'll go into LGIP or local, but then this is where they will house the money to get us the best investment rates. So there's basically two companies in the state that do this. Sarah and I met with both of them. From Brian from Baird, kind of consulting for us, said there's the two companies. It's really personal preference. And what they do is, again, get you the most money return on your investment. So literally investing it. And so, again, we met with both. This was our recommendation, who we felt. They both do the same job. They both get, they don't control the percentage interest rates. They don't they don't control any of that. They just house the money and get the returns on it. So, again, we are electing American Deposit Management.
Grandaw?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Heidi Welp? Yes. Cherry?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Hanson?
Yes.
Roman?
Yes.
All right, G, 2025-2026 school
calendar. All right, the board is asked to approve the 2025-2026 school calendar as presented earlier in the meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kayla.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. H, resolution, start school prior to September 1st, 2025.
The board is asked to vote on the resolution to apply for a waiver from DPI to start the school year before September 1st, 2025.
You have to read that whole
just title. The heading.
Okay, School District of Cribbett School Board resolution for the waiver of the commencement of the school on or after September 1st pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 118.045 and PI 27.03.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Sarah. Roll call.
Grandaw?
Yes.
Yes. Heidi Welp? Yes. Cherry?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Hanson?
Yes.
Roman?
Yes.
All right. Emergency operations school safety plans.
The board is asked to approve the updated emergency operations plan.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Kayla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. J, lockdown drill reports.
The board is asked to accept the lockdown drill reports as presented earlier in the meeting. I will clarify one piece of this also. The reason that it comes to the board on an annual basis is we actually have to report that we did this to the DOJ. It's part of a grant that was received for like the secure entrance pieces. We have to do a school safety drill annually, and then it has to be uploaded into the DOJ system by January 1st. So that's why it falls on this and why you're approving it. Because, we do fire drills and you don't have to approve that. But this is one that it has to be reported to the board and the board sign off on before January 1st. So
I need a motion.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Whoop, all three of you. Take one. Second by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. All right, this is going to be the hard one.
Okay.
Staff compensation. I will make the motion to... Hold on, I got to get my notes. Go with a compensation schedule and adjust each increase by $200 retroactive to the beginning of the school year to increase the perfect attendance semester incentive from $250 to $500 each semester starting with next semester, and then the prep time stipend would move from $20 to $40 starting immediately.
Yep.
And then the credit reimbursement will go from $125 to $250 starting immediately. Post-retirement benefits, we would move from $50 to $75 for unused sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then for support staff, we're going to move from $30 to $50 for unused sick leave.
Yep.
And then the yearly payout for staff at max sick time would increase from $50 to $75. Woo! Motion by me.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. High school cheer trip.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Sunny.
I'm sorry, I didn't read my... The board is asked to approve. I'm told you it was a long day.
Just one more. Board
is asked to approve the two cheer trips. Sorry.
Motion by Sunny.
I missed my cue.
Seconded by by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carried. Motion by Kayla.
You are so funny.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carried. We're adjourned at 7:09.